irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, September 6th. I love Fridays, or you should know it by now. What is? Do you have a favorite day?
Saturday.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because you still got the hopes that the weekend is in front of you.
That's true.
Because Sunday, you have like a, you know, you're on vacation. Right. But you're like, ah, Monday is coming. Right. So all the people have to go back to work. I'm a comedian, so usually I work in the weekends.
Okay.
But something about Sunday that is like, people are stressed.
Yeah. Well, you know, but Friday, you have 2 days ahead of you.
Right,
know?
So right.
That's what I like, and I made it a short day for me. So I get to just get more time to do nothing.
And then you get to eat.
You get to eat, absolutely. Thank you all for joining us. If you want to see us on Facebook, we are on Facebook today because we have a guest. And you just go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook and you'll see the video there. You can watch us and share and everything. I'm going to bring in our guest right now early because he is a friend and we're not going to keep him waiting. We're joined by Ilan. Welcome to the show. Do you want to say your last name too?
Azulay.
Okay, Ilan Azulay it is.
You can't go more Israeli than that.
Right.
It's like the Israeli of Israel.
If like there was a movie and it was like my Israeli friend, they would go, Ilay Azulay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everybody that's listening probably going, what the fuck? You know, we tune in for an English show.
Hey, and
you
get my name Israelis. Is Or. People don't get it either. It's Israeli. So
it's okay. But
I get it. I get you, Ilan.
Like three Israelis sitting right here, but we promise you, you know no Hebrew.
No, but you know, the thing is that three Israelis and we all talk English.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the beginning of a joke. Three Israelis sitting in the radio.
Right. Walking into a bar.
One says, hello.
But we promise you an enjoyable show, folks. We know how to have fun and you know that. So, Ilan, so let me introduce Ilan. Ilan is a friend of mine. We met, you were a guest, and we met that way, and Or was a guest also, and that's how we met. And so Ilan was a guest referred by somebody else, and then we connected. Now you have your own show here, and we have fun together off camera.
Yeah,
and it's cool, you know. I mean, we have similar backgrounds and everything, so it's pretty cool, you know. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for being here. It's really, really fun to hang out with you.
Of course. Now, you just came back from a trip. Tell us about it, man.
Oh, I went to I went to New Mexico. I'm tired with these glasses.
Yeah, take them off. You're in a room anyway. You don't need glasses.
Went to New Mexico and stayed at an Earthship. Do you know what an Earthship is?
No.
Earthship is a dwelling, is a house, but the whole idea is that it's completely off-grid. It's off-grid from the power company, from the water company, so you get your power from wind and solar.
Wow.
It's self-sustained.
Yeah.
And the water from the well. And the house is made out of about 50%, at least 50% recyclable material. So the foundation of the house is made also with old tires.
Right.
And the walls have like bottles. So you take a bottle ends and you put them in the wall, and they are also creates a beautiful decor.
Right.
And it's also helping to sustain the integrity of the building.
Let me ask you this.
That's crazy.
With the beautiful
build a
decor,
house like
but
that.
The, when, you know, New Mexico has extreme weathers. Right?
Well, is it
like strong enough? Is it durable? For
It's built. They started around in the 90s, I think, even earlier, but around the 90s, and they're built with the ground. So the new houses, as they build them, it's I think the first community that have as a community Earthships.
Right.
There are people across the country that have them here and there.
Oh, so you have a few houses.
So it's a
like
community.
A whole...
So this is the first community where you actually have, and each neighbor is like, I don't know, like far. 300 feet away. You know, yeah. It's not like...
Not one up each other's ass like we have here.
No. And so everything is built into the ground. So it's like a hobbit house, if you will.
Yeah.
You know? And it's really, it's pretty cool.
Sounds nice, but I'll go for a day and then I'll pass.
Let me tell you something.
And I went to see Sting. And I went to see Sting.
I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. I have this whole thing that I like.
She doesn't give a shit about Sting. She's like going on.
That's
with what
perfectly fine.
Go on. I like it. I like it.
No, because I have this thing. I'd go to Airbnbs, but I look for the strange Airbnbs / unique / stuff like that. And sometimes you get Airbnbs that it's.
And it's great.
That's how you get like them. That? Yeah. That's how you rent it through Airbnb. So usually when I do the Airbnb experience, they have like a whole. I type the weirdest shit on Airbnb and I book it.
Really?
And the house is
that's interesting.
I was at a house in Joshua Tree that it's all made out of China. Broken China. The whole everything. Yeah, it was beautiful. Cool. It's like you're living in a piece of art or in like an acid trip. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you get high. No, and so it's really you would love it. And there is plantation in the house because it's grown, it's together. Everything is with nature. It's one with nature.
Oh,
it's
nice. It's
really beautiful.
Very cool. So you had fun there. How long were you there for?
4 days. And there is no AC. The AC is coming from the ground. There are special openings that the ground is circulating the air. And so it's you don't need AC.
Right? Really?
And you don't need heat because then...
Like they have like vents on the floor or something?
Yes, coming from the wall.
Oh, from
and
the
it's
wall.
All Pueblo style, you know. It's not.
Yeah.
It's all beautiful. That's
made of mud and shit like that.
So when the rain comes, you stay without nothing. Everything melts away.
Oh wow! So and you saw Sting. How was the Sting concert?
I've never seen him before, and it was quite an experience.
Really?
I remember seeing him in earlier days, but you could see how. Somebody's loose on stage and communicates with the audience, and the music is great, and just the vibes are.
Yeah, you know. And he's evolved. I mean, he sings all types of music, you know, so it's really cool. It applies to a lot of different people, you know.
Yeah, no, it's really great. It was really a nice experience.
Cool. Yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself, so people can know. You also immigrated from Israel. How long have you been here?
I've been in the States for about 28 years.
28 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
What led you, what age were you?
I was about 23. I finished the army. I went to Rimon after to music school. Mm-hmm. And then about 23, I came to the States.
Wow. So you didn't waste too much time. You just...
Well, I didn't plan on coming here. Really.
Right.
I had a music thing starting over there. And, and I met my first wife in Israel.
Oh, okay.
And then...
So then you moved.
And then I moved.
Oh, well. See, that's usually what happens. You move for a woman or a man or something.
There is always a woman or a man involved.
Yeah.
There's always.
You know?
It's always.
Except in my case. My case, I came here all by myself, had nothing at 16. But I managed, you know? And today I'm happy I'm here.
That's good.
I really am, you know? So, you know, I mean, people have different reasons, right? I mean, you came here to be a comedian.
I didn't come here to be a comedian
in
the beginning.
No, I thought you did.
It ended up that way.
Oh.
I came here because I was confused and depressed and all that in Israel, and I came here to take a class. I found a writing class that in the end of it, you do a showcase. Mm-hmm. So you know how people go to silent retreats in India and do all these things. This was my way to find myself. And I planned after the showcase to come back. I planned to just give myself an adventure.
Right.
I wanted just a short adventure. I had a job. I had everything. And I had a fiancé.
And you left everything? How do you leave your fiancé? Come on. I mean, obviously, it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Maybe she wasn't authentic to herself at that time.
I was just different. You know what we talked about yesterday? That how, you know, you're with somebody, sometimes you change.
Right.
And the other person didn't change, and maybe they wanted the old or back.
Right.
But now the new or is a comedian, and she does shows, and she goes out, and she does all these things. And, you know, and
he's not
and
sure
so
he
what
wants
what do you
anymore.
Do when one person changes and the other one's... if they can't change with them, then
it's interesting.
There's
it's
a interesting problem
saying, because that's a big thing in not just in relationships between men and women, just even with yourself and with friends and
yeah,
work. And,
yeah, with friends too. I mean, you look back at your childhood friends, and most of them, you go, I could never hang out with them now. You know, it was a different time. We were different people.
You were different, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so that's a thing. And like you said, you know, my thing is people do change, and either they become closer, they grow apart, or they grow together, you know. And you don't know, you know. I mean, many people look, they've been together for like 50 years or something, and yeah. they're like,
they
yeah,
change
we
together.
Changed together.
Yeah,
you know?
They changed together.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, the way we spoke about yesterday, that sometimes something happens in one person's mm-hmm. life that pushes them to change. It could be a tragedy. It could be something good. It doesn't matter. But right. something significant happens, like a move, like mm-hmm. a career, whatever it is, and they change. And then, you know, it's sad, but what are you going to do?
Right.
That's right. It's like, and it's interesting because this is this happens all the many times.
Yeah.
And this is sometimes how we, you know, there's a sentence, when the heart cracks, the light comes in.
Mm.
When the heart
okay,
is
I like
broken,
that.
The there is place for a light to come in. And
yeah.
When somebody,
who said that? Is it John? I know this quote.
I
light
know.
Comes in through the cracks. Yeah, I know this
yeah,
quote.
Yeah, but
some singer said it, right?
Maybe, I don't remember, but the whole idea...
I should have smoked
it. Who cares?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It sounds good.
I'm like, who said it? It's my OCD, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She needs to know who says it, otherwise we can't continue.
Now, yeah. Now I'm like 3 hours like, who said it? This is how, by the way, whole days are being wasted I waste my time so many times.
Really?
Because I get caught up in this, it's OCD. You get caught up in this one tiny thing that means nothing, mm-hmm. that doesn't matter for anything. Not that anything matters, but this especially doesn't. And then, boom, 3 hours.
So how do you think you can mm-hmm. get rid of that OCD thing?
How do I? I schedule with people.
What?
Times
oh,
to
schedule.
Meet, and then I know I have to go.
Mm. Otherwise, you won't go. Otherwise, you won't do anything spontaneously,
no.
so to speak.
Well, I do a lot of things spontaneously. That's how I waste my time.
That's
okay,
a good
well,
one. I think she's good at something, you know. She wastes her time very well. That's good.
She's spontaneous yeah. about wasting time.
I think Jerry Steinfeld said, you know, he said, I'm a comedian.
Light comes through the cracks.
No, he said, and he said, I'm very good at spending time wastefully.
Uh-huh.
So comedians are
yeah,
so they spend the majority of time on things that makes no sense because maybe that's where the funny is.
But really, is that really true, or is that really a good lead in a story? Because if you wouldn't do anything, you wouldn't be on a stage because you have to write your
no, it's
material.
Not that you don't do anything. Is that the things you do to a normal human being would sometimes look bizarre that this is what you spend your time on. Like mm-hmm. Jerry Seinfeld, he was in an interview and he said, I spent 4 months on this one joke, and it's a joke. So for the normal human being would be like, wow, Jerry Seinfeld, don't you have anything to do? He's like, no, I have to get this word right.
Uh-huh.
And but that's what makes him Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Well, it's like writing a song. Sometimes it'll take me a long time to write.
One word.
Or a melody will get stuck and the song will get stuck for a year or something.
Right.
But yeah. And then you come back to it.
Yeah.
Or not.
And then you come back to or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have whole notes. I call it the notes hole. Yeah. That you go in the notes and there's no bottom. And it's just uncompleted things.
Yeah, you have things that you started like it. But you know, sometimes you have a bunch of things that you started. Who said that you cannot just take them and bring them together?
Yeah.
Maybe together they create something that you didn't think of at all.
That's true. She could.
Every few months I do that. Every few months I go and I pick like one note and then I read with my friend this whole thing. I was like, is this worth it? Is this worth it? And then from all of it, I would choose like three premises mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. could be funny and I think are worth spending the time on.
Do you laugh at your own jokes?
I have to. If it has,
well, no, I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, if
it's not so that funny. I, well, every time I see myself, I don't like watching myself on stage. Yeah. I don't laugh at my own jokes. I laugh when I hear the audience laugh, but not when I'm on stage. If I watch it later,
right?
On stage, you can't laugh at your own jokes.
That's
no,
like
you don't do that.
Yeah, funny.
But when you write a joke, and let's say you wrote a punch that you think is for you, that's funny, and you can giggle a little bit because you know you got to get it with the vibe. But that's in the writing process.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Her name in Hebrew means light. I mean, I obviously know that, but there are three letters, and her name is an example. Just a very tiny, small example. I'm changing something. The guest is changing the subject.
We're totally OCD on this show. You can do whatever you want.
Is an example of how the entire universe is created within the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, if you take the word O, it's three letters. Right. If you take the dot above the Vav and take it down, it's Avil. Mm-hmm. Right? And these are the two main ingredients that we need to survive on this plane.
Mm.
Light and air.
Interesting. Okay, so you carry a big responsibility with your name.
Yeah.
And you better believe it.
Yeah.
And live up to it.
You should hear my last name, you freak out.
What's your last name?
Mashiach.
Mashiach. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
When the rabbis hear, they're like,
oh, Mashiach.
Every time I come to get the blessing, they're like, maybe we should get yours. Like,
you know, we can open a synagogue with your name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But depends on Mashiach.
I think there's like five in the world.
Wow.
Mostly men.
Where are your parents from? Like what?
Egyptian.
Both sides?
So for no, my mother is, I'm a quarter Moroccan.
Oh.
And I'm three quarters Egyptian. Mostly. Like I have all these like eights of stuff. But you know,
everybody
has an eighth. And I'm not talking about weed.
Right.
I'm talking
about. what are you saying that Azula is the most Israeli? If Azula is the most Israeli name, my name, then Mashiach is the most Jewish name.
Hey, I didn't say it from up there. I said it in the eye level. Like I know how it is. I know how it is. I have the most Israeli name ever.
So Mashiach is Messiah for those who
my full name, guys, means the light of the Messiah.
Exactly. You know, it's like, how do you argue with that one, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But here my stage name is Mash. So I go by Or Mash.
Or Mash.
Because I just don't want to freak people out.
Yeah, that's true.
I had, you know, I thought about it. I was like, should I go with Or Messiah or Mash? What do you guys think?
No, Mash is better.
Mash is better.
Why? Or Messiah.
Even Mash you have to describe, but Mashiach would have been good too.
Look, eventually.
But then you seem like...
Religious?
No, foreigner, you know.
But she's a foreigner.
I know.
We're all foreigners here.
I know.
It's based on foreigner, this whole concoction here.
Hey.
It's based on foreignity.
But now I'm on the wall. Did you see my face on the wall?
Oh, I didn't see it. Yeah. Oh, wow. She's on the wall now.
Yeah, exactly. At the wall of fame.
So what is your, sorry to change the subject, what is your creative process when you write a song? Like, do you do the harmony? Do you do the melodies? Are you only a songwriter? Do you produce the song?
Well, when I do produce, I produce it. Produce them, I write and compose. Sometimes the music will come before. Sometimes the lyrics will come before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But most of the time when it comes out like... mostly at once.
Mm.
Oh, that's
sounds
nice.
Good.
Like
that's a good creative process.
Like you.
Like you throw it up.
And like many times, and I have in each show, in each program, I read a piece that I write that has to do with the theme of the week or the show.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it happens 5 minutes before I go to air. On air. I try to bring myself to sit and to write and
doesn't happen.
It had maybe two lines, gives me an idea and stuff like that. But then when I come here and I sit.
Yeah. Have so maybe the under pressure about, or maybe you get more in the flow.
Yeah, it's just, and then everything comes out at once.
Yeah.
Like that.
Very cool. So you brought a couple of your bowls with you. Can you use those bowls today to show us some of the things you do? Okay. So explain to us, Ilan carries around with him everywhere he goes, even to the bathroom, a bunch of Tibetan
bowls.
They are Tibetan bowls.
They're Tibetan bowls. So
they're made of metal. Is it like copper or?
Well, so here's the thing. I use sound as a modality. as a modality.
What does modality mean?
Modality means a medium to transfer something. When you go to, you do acupuncture, it's a modality for healing. When you do sound healing, it's a modality. It's you're using...
Like a conduit. I mean,
a conduit.
It's a, okay,
it's,
gotcha.
It's a conduit to bring healing, right?
Okay.
But the actual conduit is a certain modality.
Gotcha. Okay?
So you're kind of going to the semantics.
Okay.
And I'm a spiritual mentor and I'm a guide. And I help women, couples to reclaim their power coming from a point of recognizing your own gifts, especially after coming out of a relationship or a divorce. Many times you can lose, so to speak, the North Star, the Northern Star, the compass.
Mm-hmm.
And it all boils down to Kabbalah and Judaism.
Mm.
And sound, frequencies actually. And yesterday I had an experience, I'll tell you about it. But frequencies that help regenerate cells and release toxins. Now this is a very very broad description, but sound therapy works well with cancer patients, with Alzheimer, with any kind of thing. You know, in Israel, I think we talked about it, they found a cure for cancer through rats. Now they completed that step. And you know, think about like an opera singer, right? When she sings at a certain pitch, the glass will shatter, right? She comes to like a certain pitch. So what happened? Right. She reached the frequency of that glass and increased the mass. Mm. So the glass at that capacity could not hold that mass of frequency, so it shattered. And that's what they did with the cancer cells in the rats. They infused them with cancer cells, found the frequency of the cancer cell, and expanded the mass.
Yeah.
And puff,
well, in theory, it makes sense. Wow. So it actually
works. It worked. It worked. So, I worked with now the sound bowls that I have here are not the sound bowls that I go with usually because they are for specific things for the brain, for some brain cells. Most of the balls are still on route from New Mexico because I had a session there in the dome. And there is an Earthship dome in New Mexico, there in Taos, and I did a session. It was lovely. It was beautiful in a whole dome. So the balls are still en route,
you know? Right?
But I have two balls, and really we are made of sound. The idea is that, first of all, if you've never experienced it, you don't need to believe anything except for something that maybe you don't know.
Because
there's always something that we don't know. So just to be open for something that we don't know. And
I believe in it. I'll tell you why.
Why?
Sorry to stop you for
a
second.
Don't, sorry, go ahead.
Let's see. I was in Israel, right? And so here, every time I open up the radio, it's trap music. Not that I have anything against trap music. I love trap music. It's all I hear. But it makes me aggressive.
Mm.
My thoughts, when I hear the trap, it already makes me go, because it's ego-based kind of. A lot of it is like ego and, fuck you up, yo bitch, you know? And I'm like, I'm riding in my Audi feeling like a gangster, like a Jewish girl from Tel Aviv. And then when I went to Israel, they had different kind of music there. They had Beatles, they had stuff like that. My whole vibration changed. I wasn't angry about nothing. Even though it's more of a stressful place than California.
Right, yeah.
Well, music in Israel is pretty cool because now many musicians are more mindful. And this is what it is about. This is the work, is to expand our awareness, to expand, to be in a mindful state. And even it comes across in the words, in the music in Israel.
Yeah.
The words, the process, the journey of somebody that goes through an understanding and what has happened and how the person reacts versus to respond and to look at different things, how we communicate. Because through communication, we are not in the indigenous tribes where we just need to look into the eyes and we have this spiritual or telepathic connection. We make meaning by language. We talk.
Yeah.
So how we communicate, what we say, the words that we speak, the program that I have is called Abracadabra, create what you speak. Because in Hebrew, you know, it's in Aramaic, right?
Now I did.
Oh, you didn't. Okay. Abracadabra, evra kedabra.
Oh.
It comes from the word I create, literally. I create as I speak. And what we say, what we utter, is really a beginning of what we are ready to receive. Now comes the ishtadlut, the effort that we are to put into.
Very interesting. So Now, so how did the bowls come in? I mean, you said these are like for specific parts of the body. Is that
so,
what it is?
Yeah, so each bowl, I have a couple.
They're like different sizes, right?
Different sizes, different frequencies. Each bowl has 7 metals. They're all resonating at different frequencies. And each part of our body has a frequency. Your kidney has a frequency. Your hand, your heart, every part has a frequency.
Mm. Are these frequencies known? So there's like in a book they say, okay, the kidney frequency is this.
You can find that. Yeah, you can find that. Now, there is somebody pointed out to me at one point because I was talking about love frequency. And love frequency is anything that is above 500 hertz is the love space frequency, and we're going to heart chakra. But there is a heart rate, literal heart rate frequency, that if you a resting heart rate is translated in medical to 1.67 hertz. I mean, don't get too semantics, but there are differences between the physical frequency and the energy frequency. So,
right.
So there is. So we have, if we put it in layman terms, we have chakras. We have 7 chakras. We have our root, our sacral,
right,
and then we have our heart, and so. The bowls, the Tibetan bowls specifically, work not only on a cellular level, but they work also on our emotional and energetic body.
Okay.
So you go through the day. You're sitting in the car, right? Yo. All right, all this kind of thing, all this music and stuff like this. It's playing, you know?
Yeah. It's fun.
But it comes in.
Yeah.
Right? And now I'm not judging. It's all good. I listen to...
It all comes in. Doesn't matter what genre I listen to.
Yeah, it all comes in,
you
right?
You feel it.
You
feel the music. You listen to music. You feel it.
Yeah. And it goes in. It goes in through one of our gateways.
I got a friend. She's heartbroken. All she hears is like these depressing fucking songs.
and you remember I asked you, how do you stop that that place of... but you continue listening to it, so we keep it alive.
Yeah.
You know, so this is how also sound has a power.
Mm. Yeah.
So when you say it, when you say something, it was in the beginning of the conversation, the radio program, you said something, forgot, but you keep saying it, we keep it alive. I am like this, I'm, God forbid, depressed, right?
Oh, I said I had OCD.
OCD, right. So you keep saying, so you're keeping it alive.
Yeah. Oh, but you say if I stop saying it, it won't exist.
No, well, it's a start of a recognition of what is not you, because what I feel is happening, because I have OCD, is like OCD goes with you. It's me. So it's like almost like identifying with that OCD whether it's really in reality something that you picked up or a part of you. Just look how you shifted now that a certain person, your fiance. Shifted to a different vibration, which means that is not you. That which you were, that who you were at that time, is not really you, because we shift all the time. The same thing with all these things that we attach to ourselves, like, oh, I'm OCD, oh, I'm this, or you know, just my little.
No, I totally agree. I feel like I have also experienced a change in frequency in relationship, where. Even that none of us change, something in this frequency
in the relationship
happened.
Yeah.
No, I felt that now we're not on the same frequency. It means like no matter what we say, no matter how we try to fix to be, there's no harmony anymore.
Well, it happens. You know, people evolve.
Yeah,
what can you do?
So
we'll shift.
Coming back to the, I want to see.
She wants to see it in action.
So right. What does this do?
So this one really is for, this particular one is for relaxing. It goes to your brain. So now what happens is there are different frequencies that cause different things, okay? But let's try it first.
Okay, so I'm going to take this off.
You don't put it on your head or anything.
Oh, okay.
Well, usually I would just open your hand. Just open your hand like that, not hugging. Don't hug it. As he goes.
Okay, so now to describe for those who are not watching, Orr is holding the little bowl, and Elon is banging on it with the stick.
So now it's making. So sound. Now I'm not doing it too loud, but what you can feel aside from the auditory level, she can feel
the vibration
on the hand.
Right? Can you feel it? Yeah, right.
And so she feels the vibration on the hand. Now, another way to do that, mm-hmm. and this is really a mini. But when a person lies down, I have a set of over 20, 30, almost 30 balls.
Wow.
Different ones for different mm-hmm. meridians, different parts of our body. Mm-hmm. And when you go down, you're just entering into a space. I guide you into a space that from there you can flow wherever you need to flow.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have really deep connections to places that were forgotten. Brings certain things up. It also induces your relaxation and deep sleep.
Mm.
You know? So first we start with deep cleansing, and there is aura cleansing, energy cleansing, your body energy.
Mm.
That's a cleansing. And then if there is a specific a specific wound or a specific place in your body that doesn't flow, then we look at that. And sound is the only modality that that will tell me if there is something going on with you without you telling. Because if it doesn't flow, it doesn't go.
Okay. Yeah.
So and then there is the other way where I will play that.
Yeah, you kind of rub the ball more rather than...
Put it in her ear, but she's with the headphones, but usually it will...
Here, put it.
Yeah, take it off. You don't need the headphones.
So it will go on the way too loud now.
Yeah, what is that? Okay, so you guys can hear the sound, I mean, but you hear feeling the vibration too, right?
She felt it on her hand, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, it's great.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Let me tell you something. I like relaxing. So everything that has to do with relaxation,
you'll go
that
with
kind
it.
Of part.
You know, the thing is, when I fly, the funny thing is sometimes I fly with these things. I have actually to fly them with my carry-on.
Right.
Every time it's the same story.
Yeah.
I get pulled over.
Uh-huh.
And they don't understand what's a sound healing, or some do. So the best way for me to do this is, oh, you know what? I'm a chef. I'm a cook. These are dishes. They let me go. No problem.
Yeah. These are weird looking dishes, but.
Yeah, because it's like a dark mass.
And the big ones are heavy too.
The big
ones
are heavy. So like, so it's at least 100 pounds.
So
altogether.
Why do you travel them? Do you tour or do you heal people abroad? Tell me a little bit about kind of.
So I do groups in different places, and I work with people privately.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to travel with them, you know, and if I have to fly with them, then I'll fly with them. And we do a retreat this end of the month, on the 20th, the weekend of the 20th, there is a retreat of 3 days that I'm doing a few things in there, also a sound bath, and also...
Where is that? Tell us.
And that's going to be here in Studio City.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is, it'll be on the Facebook. I don't know how to do that.
Okay.
How to say for the station.
So Studio City, this upcoming weekend,
on the 20th.
On the 20th.
The week on the 20th. And it'll be, there'll be a sound bath, there'll be yoga, there'll be mandalas work, and I will give a lecture about power of words and how to make meaning of some
sounds
processes.
Good.
That
so
we
you
go
get
through.
a full evening of...
3 nights. It's
3 nights.
Where do you sleep? Yeah. It's like a...
You can sleep. You can sleep. No, it's a private. It's a private house. You can sleep there. It's first come. You know, we have to. You have to register,
mm-hmm.
But it's sleeping on premise, and you don't have to. But it starts from the morning, full day, and
wow, that's a lot. Then you're compressing a lot in 3 days.
So there are a bunch of people.
For people that love this stuff, it's
it's great. It's great. And,
very good. So how can people find out more about it?
So on Facebook, go to Body Soul Sound. That'll be my Facebook, and I'll put there the link for the event. The link is up there.
Okay.
So it's Body on Facebook, Body Soul Sound.
Okay.
Or my Facebook, it's Ilan Azulay. But go. I don't think you're going to.
They will.
That.
They'll find it. I put the name on.
You put Facebook. The name on the tagging. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But at any rate, for those of you interested, and I know a lot of people love this stuff. You know. And
we talk about a bunch of things, you know, also letters, like we start talking about letters, the power of letters through Kabbalah, the divine energy that flows through each person's name. That's why also changing names is kind of is an issue.
That's why I was contemplating with the Ormash or Messiah, because you know where we come from, a name is very important. And the Ormash thing was just like, whatever. I did it on Facebook once and it just stayed. I didn't give it much thought. But well, you're saying that there's importance. Let's not make it about me, but let's
just
not?
Say. Why not? Let's make it about
I mean, we can. I am the host. But
I'm just the guest.
What do they say about the...
So here's the name. It's more about the private names. You know, like a parent can think about a certain name. Boom. And then when the baby arrives, suddenly the mother decides a whole different name. Mm. You know, there is a guiding hand of the person of an angel that really is to direct the parent for the appropriate name for that child. And so it's really the private name. The last name is like more of a karmic connection that you have. And it's interesting. Was it Mashiach is the original name?
Yes.
Or was it? It's the original name.
Yeah.
You're not Kohanim.
No.
Yeah.
Messiah, we always were.
But that's—I mean, I've heard people with that last name. I don't think there's only two or three in the world, you know.
I saw like on Facebook. I saw like five.
Really?
That's really beautiful. In my opinion and recommendation, we don't meet for nothing. There's always a reason why we meet, right? I feel that you should stay with Mashiach.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because think of it as the grandeur picture, more than the story level. You know, you're talking about driving in an Audi, listening to the music and what comes in, and yet you're still influenced. And you said, "No, I'm going to change my name because it's not convenient." You know, when I came to the States, my name Ilan, two I's, I N and L. People would call me Ian because it looks like
Ian.
Yeah. So I changed my name to have a lower I, capital L, lower A, lower N, like Ilan. Almost like Ireland, right?
Yeah.
And then in 99, the iMac came out. So I kind of got the short end. I should have trademarked my name already before that.
Yeah, but I
did it because I was like, oh, they can't. Da, 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 da. And I think I'm going to go back to my, you know.
Original.
But
this is like in English anyway, like, so it's not the original because you were given a Hebrew name.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Because the meaning is in the Hebrew letters.
Well, yeah, it depends. But I mean, there's meaning for non-Hebrew names also, you know, if you write them in Hebrew.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the language.
Right.
The Hebrew language is a language of an essence, meaning...
Right, but how do you analyze the name of someone who's does not have an Israeli name?
You I can don't. Still they do don't it. Exist. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right. We just alienated all our fucking listeners. But no, really.
No. It's a translation. Like there are many Jewish people, right? Mm-hmm. That were born here. I mean, I was just joking, right? But there are many people that were born here. So like Barbara, right? I mean, you don't find this name in Israel, but you give it in Hebrew. You give it a Hebrew name. You have also Sam. I mean, well, that's a whole.
Yeah, I know a few people that they were giving like a Hebrew name. You know, my Hebrew name is Sam.
Right, like Jewish people.
Yeah,
usually
and that's
in America,
okay.
Yeah.
And that's okay because it goes with your energy. You know, so there is a meaning for everything in your name. You can see the character of a person.
Right.
The spiritual in the Aleph, the spiritual craving.
Right.
Right.
Is Sam short for anything?
Well, Sam is, I mean, I used to go by Muli, you know, which is my nickname.
Mm. Well, what is the
but
real name?
Nobody. Shmuel, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, Samuel, you know.
Samuel,
but that's a shitty name.
Samechmem is the name of the... You know,
yeah, so I made it Sam. And so people will listen, will remember. And that's the actual translation of Shmuel. You know, it's the name from the Bible. And I was named after my grandfather. And it's interesting because in some cultures, you can name a child for someone who's alive. And in some you can't, you know, they have to be dead.
Yeah.
So I was named when my grandfather was still alive, you know, so it's like.
Oh, wow.
But they don't go with junior and senior and all that.
No,
shit.
They don't do that.
But at any rate, I just wanted to segue because this headline captured me and I think we can talk about this. In China, they created the first cloned kitten. So they cloned the cat.
Really? Yeah. Haven't they already cloned the sheep?
They have before.
Long
but,
time ago, Dolly, right?
Yeah. Right. But this is like
not Molly
to meet the emotional needs. So they decided to do this to meet the emotional needs of the young generations. So I guess
and they chose a cat. A cat is like the most selfish animal in the world.
Well, but they figured, you know, if your animal dies, we can bring it back. You know, like fucking Pet Cemetery.
Oh, it's the same cat.
Yeah,
they should have done that with a dog. I'm a dog person.
Well, I know somebody who actually cloned her dog before her dog died.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
You know her personally?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to tell us now.
No, no.
No? You don't have to tell us her name. But
no, but
what did she do? No, what do you mean she cloned you?
There's a clone.
There's companies that do that.
Cloning services. The cloning, they cloned the dog.
Companies? I guess, I must have.
Yeah, that's what the Chinese thing is about.
They cloned her dog before the dog passed away. And that new dog also stayed for... Yeah.
Does it have the same characteristic? Same, but we talked about vibrations. So do you think that the clone animal, which is supposed to be the same thing from the same cells,
what are you
cloning? Would it have a different vibration, though?
Well,
I don't think it will.
What are you cloning? You're cloning an animal.
Right.
This is why they have a problem with
humans.
But
they have vibrations, too.
They do, but it's part. I see it as part of the nefesh, right? There are the levels of creation.
Right.
There is a domem chai tzomeh, domem tzomeh chai.
I'm going to translate. Still.
Well, why are you saying this in Hebrew? Nobody
will know
what the fuck.
There is the still, like an object. Mm-hmm. There is the vegetation, the...
Look,
there's the animal, and then there is human. What separates us is the speech, right? And so, but the animals are considered like the nefesh, the
soul,
the lower part of the soul. The nefesh, the animalistic. It's like a car that is an idol, or somebody who goes to sleep. The person is not awake, but he's also not dead, right? He's an idol. Right, that is the nefesh that keeps. That's where all the desires, all what we want, the animalistic, the now that I wanted, the did, that all comes from. That stays in the nefesh, right? So when you clone that, you clone that of their vibration. The problem that I feel that they had with the human thing is really the consciousness.
Yeah,
is that place? You know, there are. So we're getting
to Black Mirror stuff now.
Oh, you know, you like that show? It's a good show, right?
I don't like it at all. I stopped watching it after
Why?
Two, three episodes.
It was good. It was
because it's too real about the near future, and
so it scares you.
It's not about scaring; it depresses me.
Yeah,
that's what it does. It's not about scaring. I don't get scared by movies and things like that. Books,
it depresses.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's a good.
But it's depressing because I mean, it's like, you know, people. Like no privacy anymore. People destroying each other's lives, you know.
Well, that's what happens.
Right.
That's
and
what
it happens
I mean,
a lot in
Sam,
the Black Mirror.
You have to put everything in perspective. People used to die from plagues.
Right.
So the world is still better today.
I'm the one that the first
one
to say that.
We have no privacy, but we live much longer. And it, because somebody told me it's a hard, you know, we live in the hardest times. People used to get a flu and die.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. So, no, there were plagues. There was famine. There was wars.
No,
there was poverty. I agree with you, but that does not change the fact that I think our future seems grim, at least to me.
Freedom,
you know?
Of it.
Not
you
right
won't be
now.
As free.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that, but people will be able to really, like, I mean, some of the episodes are terrible. People get, you know, they destroy the lives of other people. I mean, I've seen several episodes like that on there, and I thought.
There was this episode with this woman that they were by the ratings. Remember, like
people were rating them like Yelp and shit, you know.
Yeah.
And people were rating each other, and I thought, my God, you know, we're already doing this.
It's a reflection, right?
With like Uber and shit like that, we're already rating other people, you know.
I mean, look,
and
there are the apps
stars.
And the apps that you meet somebody, like
left, right.
But
then nobody sees it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get like reviews and shit. People are going to see it. Oh, you only have 3 stars, you know. Well, you're terrible. You can't get on a plane. You can't do this. You can't do that.
You know, by the way, I've seen it. I have a friend, and she randomly Googled her, and she has a rating. There's this company that kind of collect all of the data from Facebook, from this, and give you as a person a rating.
Oh, I know.
Like
it's called
How do you say a reputation? It's reputation.
Don't even give the name.
Why?
Because you're making.
We don't want to advertise it.
They don't exist anymore.
It's evil,
man. Come on. Then you're
You shouldn't do that to private people. You should do that to businesses, to politicians, to whatever. Whoever decides to be in the public.
But it shows you your influence on social media.
But you just complained about that. You just complained about how it's depressing.
No, but social media is different from what I'm saying here. I mean, you know, in this episode, you're rating people you don't even know.
Right. Yeah. No, but it was the beginning of that. That's what I'm saying. It was a little, it was,
yeah,
it was
it's like the beginning of
that.
Of
you
that.
Shouldn't do that with private people. You can, I believe you can do that with people who chose to be in the public eye. Politicians, actors, public figures, whatever.
Look, what is
But you can opt in. That's what I'm saying. At least the one I'm talking about. You can opt in so it's not like they know this about you already.
You don't have control whether you opt in or not. You really believe this? You really
believe
that
you're opting
in?
It depends who they have access to, you know?
Listen. When they tell you, oh, we don't give your information, do you really believe this?
No.
I mean, this is a system that made you sick in the first place.
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they actually count your followers on every social media and they put a profile together. It's not to rate you. You know, it's just based on you. But whatever, you're right. I'm not
into the rating But listen, our innate, in our DNA, and this is the bottom line really of everything, what we desire is connection, is to be connected with one another, right? Is to look into the eyes of somebody else. We want to belong. We want to have somebody who loves us, who appreciates us, who sees us for what we are and who we are,
right?
And so why now do I want to wall myself off with all kind of iPad, iPhone, ratings, all these kind of things, and be in my own little cube.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't. Yeah. And to promote these kind of things because we want to get rating or we want to be on the.
Have likes and views and shit. Yeah, how people.
So we are feeding into that which we don't want to. So we are abracadabraing that which we don't want because we're putting our energy in what we don't want. Let's put energy in what we do want.
But
you try to cut yourself off from social media. Yeah.
We're a generation that about some more of our lives was without that kind of social media and technology. And then somewhere in the middle of our life, there was the revolution. The babies today, the children today, cannot be without the screen. It's harder for them to interact.
Well, and that is why we are the shamans
of
the world.
We're the generation that went through a revolution in the middle of their life.
Yes.
So we're the only ones really, this generation, my generation, we're the only ones really that know the struggle of like, wait, this is, and giving in to that.
But this is
like
why
living
we are,
without the internet.
This is why we are here to guide the next generation, and not from a standpoint
of like
give
a shit,
But that's a philosopher question too, because you'll have generation that are older with us that will try to guide us about the way they lived in, and you'll be like, Grandpa, now we live differently. We don't need your methods anymore.
You know
so that's what they will tell us.
You know what the difference is? You know the difference is? That some people are opened. Nothing is permanent except for change. That we are open, that we can see things. I went through, for half of my life, I lived like what you're supposed to be told to do. It was like a fearful lifestyle and fearful perception of self and wrong perception of self. And then things change and things shift. And so we are the shamans of the world. We are those who have one leg over there and one leg over there. Our parents and our generation, up until this time, this was not available available for shift, for change.
Yeah.
They didn't get the access to the tools. We got the access.
Yeah.
We got the access. We have the possibility and opportunity to use these tools to come to a new perception, new understandings.
Yeah.
And to be to our kids as they are, not as we want them to be, but as they are. So with what they have is to give them the tools. They will do whatever they want. I mean, you know, it's their journey. But they already are. They have built in. If you talk to somebody who is a millennial, you will see
I'm
that they.
I'm a millennial.
Right, you're a millennial. You understand? You were in the 90s. Right.
Yeah.
See, kids in the 90s are already crystal kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have. They're born already with that which we were fighting to.
Right.
To get the tool, the access to the tools, to these tools. They're born with the tools already open.
Right,
you know,
right.
So yeah. You have an, almost like an extra
yeah,
chromosome.
You should talk. I
but
talk
it gives a different perspective on life, for sure, you know.
The kids today, like I see kids today, they're like 13, 14. They're so open. They talk about their feelings,
yeah.
Their emotions. It's like, it's different when even I was in high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're very mm-hmm. like, and it's Instagram and it's all of these, because now they can see everything is open.
Now it's it's
the leaders are not just the teacher in the school and maybe something in a TV and maybe the parents, the leaders of opinion. Now it's their stars on Instagram.
Right.
You know, they say, be yourself, be who you are. And yeah. That's what affects them.
Yeah. And so anyway.
Well, we're out of time, folks.
We can talk about it so much.
We are out of time.
Yeah.
You know, when you get when the show gets interesting, you're in the flow and stuff. The time flies, you know, there's no doubt. Ilan Azulay, tell people how they can find you.
Website is bodysoulsound.com and Facebook is Ilan Azulay, ILANAZOULAI. Or so, Body Soul Sound on Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, just look for Ilan. He'll come
up. We have a video every Friday and a radio show here on Sunday at 12 p.m.
Yes.
And I have
so you can find him everywhere. Yeah. He has a lot to share with the world.
Thank God and thank you.
All right, folks. It is Friday. We wish you a great
Shabbat
weekend.
Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. To mark the totally Israeli tinged show today. But that's okay, you know. I mean, sometimes we deserve to get some...
all the time we deserve.
Yeah, but you know. Anyway, thank you as well.
Thank you.
Are you performing this weekend? Can people come see you anywhere?
Yes, Ice House tonight, 10 p.m. in Pasadena.
Ah, Ice House, I like. That's my favorite.
Ice House.
Yeah.
My favorite. It's in Pasadena, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. So have a good time.
Thank you.
Everybody go check her out. Check out Ilan and stuff. And so the one is next week?
The 20th, whatever it is.
Two weeks from now. Exactly,
yeah,
two weeks.
It'll be on the page.
Okay, so if you guys want to go and check out that
retreat,
then check it out.
Cool.
Otherwise, everybody, thank you for listening and watching, and we'll see you all on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.